Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So let's spend it living and not just going through the motions. Sometimes we need to take a fresh new look at things in order to expand our horizons. This is Spiritual Awakenings, the show that shines a light on your pathway, leading you to a more fulfilled life. I'm your host, Drew Pillow. Join me. The first day after, oh boy, yeah, there we go. Okay, so today is 420 plus one. Welcome. Glad you survived. It's a great day to be alive, and I hope your 420 went well, because man did, and I don't even get high, right? Because I'll stay high. But check this out. Today, this is DP Radio Presents Deep Thought Thursdays. You like that? Yeah. So on Deep Thought Thursdays, we talk about things that you can't talk to all your friends about because they think you're crazy. You know, it's like you really have to have a really big mind. You have to, you have to know the limits of the box and be willing to push it and jump out of that box so you can discover that you're in yet another box. But anyway, this is about mind expansion. This is about alternative views. It's actually more, it's about deeper truth. But what it's really about, it's about us talking to you. And when I say us, I'm not talking about just me and my multiple personalities. I'm actually talking about my co-host, the man who is a really nice guy. He has some really awesome points of view that I respect and I am entertained by. So I want to share this wonderful experience of knowing this guy with you. And help me put your hands together. And help me welcome to the show a man known as the Coldest. All right. Coldest on deck.
Yeah.
What's up,
bruh? Yeah. What's up with it?
Dude, that's perfect. This is how it's supposed to be. Y'all stop clapping now. You need to clap for me. Shut up. So, yeah. We did it, man. We did it. We made it. So let me see. I had rolled something down. Let me say this real quick. DPR presents Deep Thought Thursdays. Tonight, the discussion turns to the flat earth. And tonight, the truth will finally be revealed. On this show, as you know, politics, science, religion, it's all fair game. And what's also fair game is the phone lines are open. And that means that if you're listening to us right now on blogtalkradio.com or whatever stream, Facebook or whatever, you can pick up your telephone or your mobile device and dial this magic number, 424-258-9300. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, for two reasons. One, you can pop it on speaker and you can listen to the show on your phone while you're walking around. Plug it in your car, bump it for your friends, right? But additionally, if you feel that you are equipped to join the conversation, then you can press the number one on your keypad, and then the indicator light on my switchboard will tell me that you have something that you want to say. And we will honor that for as long as you're civil. Mm-hmm. And then we'll, still honor you, but you might get destroyed. So anyway... Tonight, we're going to talk about the Flat Earth Theory. I'm going to play a quick commercial, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to get right at it. So check out this commercial. I'm going to put this one. This is pretty cool right here. Check it out.
Hi, this is Nicolas Cage. When you're a teenager, there are a lot of things going on that can produce stress and anxiety. The pressures of school, dating, and the future in general can seem overwhelming sometimes. But there are healthy ways to deal with stress. Ways to reduce it and channel your energy in positive directions. And you don't have to do it alone. The Will Rogers Institute has a free booklet with some really helpful information.
For your free copy, visit WRinstitute.org and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay, so that was pretty painless. So now, we have this set up so that we can do it in a certain way. Coldest.
Yes,
well, how are we going to do this? How are we approaching this? Like the first half, we're going to talk about the flat earth in terms mm-hmm. of what?
I was thinking of kind of going through the historical aspect of just
the belief of, you know what I'm saying, there being a flat earth, and kind of go from there into the more spiritual beliefs regarding it. And from there, you know, we can kind of go talk about what's going on today as far as that's going on, because it's definitely a hot topic. And
current events, yes. Yeah, because we got some hot current events right now. I mean, literally today, crazy stuff is happening. So, yeah, I'm with you. I want to ask you, so let's start this off the right way. Here, check this out. How in the world can we even be having this conversation when everybody on the planet know that the planet is round and it's spinning real fast? I almost fell off the bitch the other day because it was spinning so fast. So why are we even talking about this, man? Come on, we're intelligent people, I thought. Why are so many people talking about the Earth being flat? How preposterous is that? Ludicrous, right?
Yeah, it's not as ludicrous as it sounds, even though it does sound ludicrous because we've been indoctrinated to believe that the world is round and a globe. But like you said, we're intelligent people, you know, and one thing intelligent people do is they question that which they've been taught, you know, whether it's on the spot or whether it's, you know, over a period of time once certain things begin to not seem right. So I think with this being the day and age that it is where, you know, you have more access to information and it's a few people done, you know what I'm saying, kind of had an idea and did a little bit of research and it's spreading like wildfire. So, yeah, we're pretty much here because we are intelligent people, despite what those naysayers may think.
Exactly. And so because a couple people had the courage to, you know, even though we're walking around blindfolded with all this information they've been pumping into our heads, and we just blindly believe this stuff, right? Like, I knew, I kind of got a hint that something was weird when I read somewhere that the core of the sun is 987,000 million trillion degrees in the core of the sun. And I was like, come on now, I ain't the smartest dude in the world, but who went to the sun with a thermometer and went all the way to the core and measured that? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I think is a little weird.
What kind of had me really wondering stuff is, because at first, when I seen the topic start being, you know what I'm saying, coming around, I stayed away from it because it was just weird to me. I think it might have been, you know, saying defense mechanism of my whatever brain. But the first thing that really I've always wondered about before it even came to that was we always got these pictures of Earth from our space. And both of these pictures, you know, saying both kinds of pictures, two things of I've noticed. And that there's hardly ever any stars in the background, one. And two, never seen satellites, even though satellites supposedly clutter the orbit of the Earth. You know, they got so many up there. So that kind of always stayed with me. And then when the flat earth thing started gaining steam and just like they was hitting on so many points, it's just like, damn, what, after everything was said and done, I was like, what was the reason I believed in a globe earth in the first place? Because there's nothing that you know would indicate that outside of what we were told.
Exactly. So let's go to the history. Let's take it all the way back. I'm thinking the original intelligent person, you know, we're going to move right past the grunts to the original person that was had a semblance of intelligence. You know, they what do you think they believed? Did they believe that the world was round or that it was flat? You know, what's the historical point of view on this, you know, matter, this debate?
Well, you will find that if you go back, you know, that it's actually – the globe thing has been pushed since Pythagoras. They want to say they said Pythagoras was the first person to push a globe model. And before that, throughout all the times after that, it's kind of been general knowledge. And it's crazy because in school we were taught that when Columbus first wanted to sail to the Americas, you know, everybody believed that the Earth was flat and that, you know, he basically had to prove them wrong. And once he did, it kind of brought us out of a dark ages, even though it was only like 400, 500 years ago. And the truth of the matter is, you know, after doing extensive research on just that, I'm saying the flat earth being it's a myth, you know, because people think now, like, if you say anything about the flat earth, like, oh, you know, you just, you want some, like, what's the word?
Heresy. Heresy.
Well, heresy. That was Galileo. And the thing about that is, too, Okay, Galileo, he was the one that, you know what I'm saying, started propounding that back in the 17th century, was in the 1600s. And he basically, the Inquisition, they made him recant. But if you look back in history, before that, in the 12th century, you had Christian monks who kind of just took it for granted. Thomas Aquinas has spoken on it, and several of the bishops and stuff. I've been going on Wicca, not Wikipedia, it's like Wicca, it's one of those wikis. And just going over it and let's talk about a lot of it. Like, say, for instance, the Chinese, okay? Up until the 17th century, Chinese were one of the few cultures that did believe that Earth was flat. And it wasn't until they first came into contact with Jesuit missionaries. Now, if you're saying, because not everybody's into conspiracy theories and stuff, but those who are, you know, the Jesuits are like the most sinister of people behind the scenes. And it's just... It's weird. It's a weird coincidence that that is when they began to first get into the globe Earth theory. But before that, it was all the way back to I think it was 4th century. Let me look at my notes. Long story short, it went a long time ago. You have a monk who
you said a long time ago. I like that. Long time ago.
there's a monk named Deke, right. Who was from 672 to 735. He wrote in his treatise, The Reckoning of Time, that the earth was round, not merely circular like a shield, spread out like a wheel, but resembling more a ball. And that's because to me, what it does, before even going into any of the flat earth facts or proofs to kind of back it up, I was kind of curious to know, like, why were we taught that the majority of the world believed that the earth was flat before Christopher Columbus proved it wrong? When the truth of the matter
No, go ahead. The truth of the matter. I want to hear the
truth. The truth of the matter is, you know, it's kind of always been pushed. And those who, it's always been like in the mystic circle. Say, for instance, like I said, China, and then the Greece and like the mystery schools, you know, they were more on it. Like that one picture you had of a fellow poking his head out into the firmament, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was where you heard flat earth was in those circles. You didn't hear it amongst the masses, you know. So it's like a conspiracy behind a conspiracy for real, because it really came by as propaganda. It was a guy named Washington Irving, you know, and it was just in the 19th century was that the whole, we believe that the earth was flat arose as a myth. And, you know.
Well, I think I think like at first people said it's flat because that's what your senses tell you. Your senses tell you it's flat. When Earth moves, your senses tell you it's moving. So we believe that it's still based on our senses. And when you see a hill, you see a hill. But when you see that everything you can see straight ahead, you know, your senses say that this is flat. So that was like everybody believed that because that made sense. But then it got changed because somebody said so. Like some genius or whoever he was. But I tell you what makes it really stick is as soon as you mix religion with it, when you put religion on the side of anything, suddenly, if you don't agree with it, you're an asshole.
Right.
Does that
right.
make sense?
Right.
When
and
you don't believe in God if you don't believe everything that religion tells you.
Right. Well, it's because, you know what I'm saying? My studies have shown, too, that the whole thing about the flat earth thing arose basically as propaganda against the Christian church, basically to make them seem as if they were into archaic ideas. In the article I read, it said, beginning in the 19th century, a historical myth arose, which held that predominant cosmological doctrine during the Middle Ages was that the earth was flat. And like I said, it's this guy named Washington Irving.
So the church was for flat earth?
Yeah. The church, everybody believed earth was a globe. Like, the whole story about the church believing that didn't even arise until late 19th century, early 20th century. It just, when we started writing it in our textbooks is when that book pretty much became prevalent, that they used to believe that the earth was flat.
So the church was with the flat earth. The other people were with the ball. And then the church got on the flat earth team because everybody else was on it.
Aside from the that period in time in the Inquisition with Galileo, because there were, you know what I'm saying, spots and patches. But no, for instance, like there's a fellow named Hermanus Contractus. he was an early Christian scholar from, you know, in between 1013 and 1054. And he estimated the circumference of the earth, and he was of those who believed in a spherical earth. Thomas Aquinas, who lived in 1225, 1274, which is like 300, 400 some years before Galileo, he taught, you know, saying that a spherical earth. And he, it says he even took for granted his readers also knew the earth was round. And, you know, the whole, like, that's the thing, which makes the conspiracy this. They've always wanted us to believe that the earth was a globe. We, in this day and age, with it being like no day and age before, are coming to the realization that the earth is flat. To keep us from coming to that realization, they created this propaganda that a group of people had already said before, and they were so ignorant, and then they gave us all this stuff. Like, say, for instance, gravity. You know what's crazy about gravity? You ever go to the fair and, you know, the gravitron?
No.
That thing, it's like you get inside of it and it spins and you get stuck up against the wall.
Yeah. Centrifugal force, right?
Centrifugal force. That's supposedly what holds the earth down. But how come on that particular ride, we actually are pressed against where it's like, you know, if that walls wasn't there, you just fly out, you know? So
yeah.
There's certain things like that.
Yeah.
You got people who could, you know, rattle off a whole bunch of numbers and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is this. Like, say, for instance, NASA. NASA admits that it takes Photoshop pictures. What they do is they have this particular whatever in the sky just go over and over, over and over, over Earth, just taking pictures. It puts the pictures together in a composite and touches them and makes them look pretty, you know? Like,
right.
These are indicators that something's not right and it's not what they've been telling us, you know? People have been saying for years that the moon landing was a hoax, you know? But it's always those who dare to think outside the box. And, of course, they get labeled in with as conspiracy theorists and so forth.
Right. Right. Well, this is a sensory overload because it's a lot of information. We're going to come back from the commercial, and I'm going to dummy it down to where I can get it because I got some questions based on what you just told me. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a couple of quick commercials. It's real easy. It ain't going to hurt you. And we're going to be right back. If you're listening live, don't forget, you can call us on the switchboard because you, like me, may have questions. The fact that I have questions is the reason that I'm here right now. But if you don't have questions, then you probably ain't even listening because you know everything. You've been programmed like a good old monkey. Be right back.
You are listening to Deep Thought Thursdays on DP Radio, hosted by Drew Pillow, featuring the Coldest.
Take a moment and see if you can guess what I'm doing. I'm getting healthy by walking. Walking daily has tons of health benefits, managing weight, lowering cholesterol and blood pressure, and improving your overall mood. So, whether it's around your neighborhood or over your lunch break, just take a walk. For your free booklet, visit WRInstitute.org or call toll-free 877-957-7575 and find us on Facebook and Twitter. The Will Rogers Institute, since 1936.
You must have thrown 1,000 pitches teaching him to hit a home run. Spent countless Saturdays running routes so he could learn to hit an open receiver. Endless afternoons teaching him how to hit the three-pointer. But how much time have you spent teaching him what not to hit? Teaching boys that all violence against women is wrong is one of the most important things a man can do. Learn how to start the conversation at teachearly.org. Brought to you by Futures Without Violence and the Ad Council.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And of course you're happy that we're back because you should be. You've been programmed correctly. So, okay, as I'm in the studio right now and I'm experiencing like the growing pains of learning something new that's not familiar, I'm having let me see. Okay, there you go. Yeah. So, I'm just trying to stretch my mind and grasp all this information that I'm being given right now. So, I want to go ahead and we're going to do the Cliff Notes version of it. So, people, The round earth concept, the spherical earth concept. Okay, wait, let's start at the beginning. Everybody used to think the earth was flat at first, right?
Wrong.
Wrong? Everybody thought the Earth was round at first?
Right. Okay. Let me quote this out of my notes real quick. It was a fellow by the name of Stephen Jay Gould, is a pretty well-respected fellow. It says, according to Stephen Jay Gould, there never was a period of flat Earth darkness among scholars, regardless how the public at large may have conceptualized our planet both then and now. Greek knowledge of sphericity never faded, and all major medieval scholars accepted the Earth's roundness as an established fact of cosmology. Historians of science David Lindbergh and Ronald Numbers point out that there was scarcely a Christian scholar of the Middle Ages who did not acknowledge Earth's sphericity and even know its approximate circumference. See,
that's something. But I think I remember that at one point in time, there was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't at one point in time people think that the Earth was the center of the universe and that everything rotated around, revolved around us?
Well, yeah, you did have thinkers like Ptolemy, I believe, who took that heliocentric model. There was some thinkers, but those were those who went outside the norms. Like I said, them and those with the flat Earth, those were outside of the norms. You know, those types of
Okay, so heliocentricity was the first school of thought, and then the flat Earth was kind of on the fringe, just like it is now.
Well, it's hard to say because it was like never a body of people, you know, who held this notion like there is today with the flat Earth movement and the so-called flat Earth truthers. They didn't have that back then. You would have a thinker, you know, who would go against the grain, but for the most part, nobody really subscribed to a flat Earth worldview. And it's crazy because we were taught that was the case. I want to make one more quote real quick. It says that the flat Earth myth, or the belief that people in the older times thought the Earth was flat, it just flourished between 1870 and 1920, and it was over the whole Darwinism thing, the whole fear of evolution. And this quote says, historian Jeffrey Burton Russell says the flat Earth era flourished most between 1870 and 1920 and had to do with the ideological setting created by struggles over evolution. Okay, it says, with extraordinary few exceptions, no educated person in the history of Western civilization from the 3rd century BC onward believed that the Earth was flat, and describes popularization of the flat Earth myth to histories by John William Draper, Andrew Dixon White, and Washington Irving, who wrote the book on Columbus. He said in his book, Inventing the Flat Earth, Columbus and Modern Historians, Jeffrey Russell describes the flat Earth theory as a fable used to impugn or attack pre-modern civilization and creationism. It says a 2009 survey at school books from Austria and Germany showed that the flat Earth myth became dominant in the second half of the 20th century and persists in most historical textbooks for German and Austrian schools. So we were taught, we were taught that people believed the Earth was flat. out of ignorance.
It's hard to explain.
A movement, so it sounds ignorant.
Yeah. See, that's why I voted to just like do away with the history class, period, because it's just so much. It's like so much. History is just so much. Because this is how I feel about it. I don't care if everybody from the first amoeba on this planet thought that the world was round. To me, that don't even like it doesn't matter, because I'm in 2016, and in 2016, it seems to be almost indisputable that the Earth is not. So, moving forward, why? Like, I think the Earth is flat. Like, I bet dollars to donuts. The only evidence I have of a round Earth that's moving is times when I was really drunk trying to walk down the street and I could feel the Earth moving, and that was it. Now I don't even drink no more, so now I got no evidence at all for that one. But what do you think? Do you think that the Earth is round or flat?
I'm strongly leaning towards flat Earth. There's nothing to outside of what we've been told. For instance, is there any way anyone can prove that the Earth is a globe? Now, you got people who, if they've done a good job, you know, in school and indoctrinated good little monkeys, like you say, they can quote some crazy numbers, you know, without actually giving any concrete proof. So many things have been presented as theories, and people have accepted them as fact without realizing that these are just theories. You know, no one's seen the Earth. No one's seen the Earth from out of space. I just said NASA photoshops all the pictures. You know, they can't even get out there to get enough pictures. And it makes sense because, you know, the sun is bright from here in the middle of the day. You go out there, there's no atmosphere, troposphere, all that stuff to block that light. How are you going to get a good picture?
Okay, let's talk about that, because this is the fun part. Now, why do you think that the Earth is like? Let's talk about some of the. This is okay. The Earth can't be round, flat. Oh my God, I'm having a hard time talking. The Earth can't be flat because they wouldn't lie to us. You know, they said, and they wouldn't lie to us. So I had a conversation with somebody about some of the things that they said that we believe that just seems so, like, are we really listening to this stuff that they're telling us? Like,
well,
I read where they know what the – go ahead.
I'm going to say check this out, right?
I was
going to
say check it out. I'm ready. Checking.
Check.
Go ahead. I'm checking it out. You tell me.
All right. You go on a flight schedule from here to China. Now, if the Earth is a globe and it's going so many, you know, saying miles in one direction as it spins, on the way to or back from your destination, you would have to make an account for that spin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what actually happens, if you notice, if you go, you can look at any flight terminal, the flight schedules are the same, to and back. Same amount of time it takes to get there is the same amount of time to get back without the plane ever speeding up. They don't do the accounting because there's no accounting to make. But no, that switched past people's head once again. Like, how is that? You know? And then you got the whole horizon.
Right.
Every so far off, then, you know, you go, you're supposed to be, the Earth's curvature is supposed to account and make a dip in your sights so that things should eventually disappear in the horizon. But you can be miles away and see, you know, saying, skyline of a city far off without there being no dip, you know? It's just, a lot of that stuff, it's kind of like common sense.
Yeah.
Why are we going contrary to common sense? I'm listening.
Yeah, because okay. So some of the common arguments for this whole flat Earth, I should pull that up and have that in front of me. But, yeah, the some of the common arguments are when you look far away into the horizon, you can only see so far. But if the Earth was flat, then you should be able to see all the way to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not accurate because of the atmosphere, right?
Right. And the limitations of our eyesight, you know, you get a telescope long enough without there being any obstructions, it's going to, you look at it straight through and it's going to show, you know. We have people who do these experiments,
right.
They'll go 7 miles. Because even after 7 miles, 8 miles, you know, 20 miles, there's supposed to be some type of account for the curvature. 300 miles, definitely, you know. But there's never an account that for the naked eye to make unless it escapes the view of the naked eye, you know. But
right.
They make up
new scientific terms too sometimes to kind of fit the narrative, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you look and you see a ship going away, you see the bottom of the ship disappearing because it's going over the horizon, over the curve. But if you throw a telescope on it real quick, bam, there's the bottom of the ship again. And it's like, well, that's the refraction of the coagulation or something, you know. They just
mm-hmm.
make up stuff like you're not supposed to be able to see clear across Lake Michigan, but on a clear day with the right telescope, you can see it. And they say, well, that's because what you're seeing is actually a reflection off the atmosphere. You're not really seeing that. So it's like, no matter what proof you come up with, that if they can't counter it, they'll just make up a new word, because they already got us pumped and primed because we believe anything. You know, like when they say, this is how I knew they, this is where I started thinking that they got to be kidding, like the speed of light. Like,
mm-hmm.
how in the world do you tell, how can you tell me that light is traveling at 96 million miles, million feet a second? Somebody hit a light switch and another dude with a stopwatch told him, ready, set, go, bam, 96 billion feet a second, bro. It's like, how would you know that? How could you measure that? Like, you can make calculations and numbers, but really, come on now, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's like in the first errands of, like, moonwalks and the landings, when they was, you know, saying radio transmission back and forth, people had noticed that there wasn't a delay, you know, for the time it takes for something to get from the moon to back here. You know, they was chopping it up like they was on cell phones, you know. And for it to be that distance, it's you know, it's obvious. It goes without saying.
Right, because sound travels at so fast, you know, at a certain limited speed and all that. You know, I mean, we could do a show on just how full of baloney this whole department of this intellectual body that deals with astronomy, this the mm-hmm. whole space, them people, they are, you know, they just make stuff up and they tell us. Like, I read where they told me what the weight of the earth is. How can you weigh the earth? Where did they get the scale from to weigh the whole damn? What, they'd get a bunch of cups of dirt and weigh them and then calculate how many cups of dirt it is, huh?
Don't get me wrong, mathematics is bad. You know, it's a bad boy. You can find out some stuff if you just know the correct, you know, processes to take. But one thing I noticed, we're talking about satellites, right? You know how much cosmic debris, like, have all these meteor showers. You never hear of a satellite getting knocked down during a meteor shower. And it's supposedly so much cluttered
right.
in space. And you know what I think?
Right.
When I was 17 years old, I worked with a subcontractor who was in Washington, D.C., and we was installing fiber optic cables for, they said it was for Time Warner, and it was supposed to be for this, you know what I'm saying, broadband thing, and high-speed internet was supposed to be hit. It was kind of before it got big. But with that being said, I don't believe that, you know, satellites really, you know what I'm saying, exist to the extent that that's what we watch TVs. I believe it's all from wire towers or run through fiber optics. That's before I even believe in the flat earth. I believe that shit, because it doesn't make sense.
Right. That's what a lot of people say, is that there is no satellites. There's everything is cables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard that too. 9300. Somebody just texted me and said, "What's the number?" Like, dude, don't text me while I'm talking. I'm talking about the earth, bro. This is important. Okay. The future of mankind is at stake. So, yeah, I believe in math. But I also understand that a lot of mathematics, a lot of science, a lot of physics is theoretical. And what I understand that to mean is that we begin with a set of agreed upon suppositions, and then we build from there. It always starts, not always, but a lot of times it starts off with if this, then that, and the if is a whole bunch of it's where the fantasy begins. You know, that's like I say, if you was 8 feet tall, now everything after that could be very logical, but you ain't 8 feet tall. So it's
right.
all logical BS, you know?
Right.
And if I don't have a way to know accurately what the if is, then nothing that I said is accurate. So,
mm-hmm.
and that's the issue with the whole gravity principle, is it begins with if, and it's 100 pages long, and it never even amounts to anything. It can't be explained. It's made up. So I say, now, what's the ringer? There's a lot of reasons that we believe that the earth is flat. But what's the ringer for you? What's the one that really did you in?
I'm looking at some of these points, and there's so many. Take, for instance, we were just talking about satellites. There was a guy named Eric DeBay. He was really like the pioneer in exposing the whole flat earth thing. And he basically makes a point. He says satellites are allegedly floating around in the thermosphere, where temperatures are claimed to be upwards of 4,530 degrees Fahrenheit. The metals used in satellites, however, such as aluminum, gold, and titanium, have melting points of 1,221, 1,948, and 3,034 degrees, respectively, all four lower than they could possibly handle. And then he goes on to say, so-called satellite TV dishes are almost
always... I can debunk that. Debunk that.
All right.
When them planes hit the 9/11 towers, jet fuel don't even get hot enough to melt steel. But just because the speed of light times the weight of the earth and a bag of Cheetos, then it could really happen. Right? See what I'm saying? They'll tell us anything. That's proof right there. When they take pictures of space, you'll never see a star or a satellite.
Yeah.
But here's what's the ringer for me. This was the ringer for me. And this is what a lot of people say. And they say, we got pictures from space, bruh. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's what they say. You ain't went to space with no camera. So you got what they showed you. But right. Check this out. What they showed you is a perfect circle. Perfect.
Right.
But scientists will tell you that the Earth is not even perfectly round. If it's an oval, but even the latest dude, Neil Mike Tyson DeGrasse, whatever his name is, he said it's like it's pear shaped from the spin and the wobble. But when NASA take a picture, spheroid. But when NASA take a picture, it's a perfect damn circle. Now, if that don't tell you something is hokey. Yeah. Then you just, bleach cocktails, my brother. So
I see you make that point earlier, and I was like, you just killed dude with that. I'm like, damn. You know what I'm saying? There's so many points you can make that just like that. That's a perfect example,
It's like when they went to space. I was watching this thing yesterday. They were showing when the first flight to space, the first manned trip to the moon. They were showing the thing landing on the moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was taking the picture of the thing landing on the moon? But they had sent like a rocket camera up there that was, already there taking pictures. It's
they
like
had a
this
big dumb selfie
official...
stick.
Right, and then they asked the astronauts. They was like, we discovered the Van Allen belts, and that radiation is badass, right? So, how did y'all deal with that? Flying around in aluminum foil spacesuits, how was you able to survive that? He said, well, if we went through it, we really didn't even notice it because it hadn't been invented yet. And it was like, give that dude a sign right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so out there. It's right there in people's faces. Hey, we are right at commercial time. I see that we have a caller that's ready to chime in. If you're listening to us streaming live on, however you're listening, I want to invite you to join in as well. The phone number to call in is 424-258-9300. When you do that, you'll be on deck with myself, Drew Pillow, and the coldest. We'll be right back from this commercial break, and then we got a caller 937 that has some opinions to share with us. Check it out.
You are listening to Deep Thought Thursdays on DP Radio, hosted by Drew Pillow, featuring the coldest.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Whenever you drive the car, there is always an unseen, unwelcome passenger with you. That passenger is danger. The danger of a traffic accident. Unfortunately, every person seems to have the absurd notion that he bears a charmed life, that no traffic accident can happen to him. But it can, and too often it does. So when you're behind that wheel, don't take chances. Obey all traffic rules. Drive safely for life, your life, and the lives of us.
Yeah. That was an old commercial from the 50s or something like that. He sounded old, too. Coldest, you, be back in the lab. You, cut. You ready to, field some callers, my brother?
Yeah, let's do this, man.
Okay.
My brother.
So, call. I just like that. That reminds me of the, Wayans brothers. 937-239, you are on the air with, Drew Pillow and the Coldest. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What up, Tip?
Hip, this dude is so bomb. He is so bomb. He goes by one name only. Hip.
What's up,
Hip?
What's up?
Yeah, Hip is a most respected brother. I'm glad to have you in the fold. So you've been listening. You got a comment. What's up?
Nah, I just got on right before the commercial and heard you talking about the what belt was that? The radiation belt that's around the Earth, right?
The
Van
Allen,
belt. Is that? Yeah. So, is are you and the Coldest like on the same page as far as like theories or the possibilities of it being flat, or is it like one good cop, one bad cop?
That we're kind of. I don't have all the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? I don't have all the knowledge concerning it. I definitely lean towards the flat Earth theory. You know, it's at this point in time, it's kicking ass, and it makes the most sense to me. It's a shame you came in later because we kind of hit some good points. Like, say for instance, we don't even have pictures of the Earth, and the pictures we do have, Drew had made the point. Like they say, Neil Tyson deGrasse had said the Earth is pear shaped, and they always taught that like it's, you know, kind of like an egg, but the pictures of Earth we get are perfectly spheres, you know, among many other things. But I would say that I agree with him on a lot of his points and where he's at. Or else I'd be the bad.
We agree. We're not good pet cop, bad cop. I'm comic relief, and he's the straight man, more like, because he got facts, but I just got common sense. What do you got? That's what we want to know.
Right.
Man, I don't know. It's either way. Like how I was at work yesterday and was looking up midday, and I know that there's a couple things like with people I've talked to about documentaries that talk about the moon being a hologram, and like you can in midday the dark part of the moon is the exact same color as the sky behind it, and at night it's the exact same color as the sky behind it.
Right,
and
that's right. And I'm gonna throw this on with the moon. I'm glad you brought it up, because look, here's another flat Earth proof. When it's daytime here, that means it's nighttime somewhere else on the other side of the ball, right? That means the moon is in their sky and the sun is in our sky. Now, they can't look up in their sky and see the sun at night, but we could look up in the sky and see the moon in the daytime on our side. So how they got a moon and we got a moon? You see what I'm saying? It's just stuff like that.
And it was interesting.
So you're saying the moon is a hologram. Oh,
yeah.
He took it there.
Well,
do you think flat?
There's a bunch of things that go back and forth that, like, have me thinking one way and then thinking another, which, like, the whole point is cool because, like, I'm asking myself questions. And it does, I wouldn't put it past whoever's in power to actually hold a secret like this for so long. Mm-hmm. But, like, I got in a talk about it with my stepdad. So, like, I was talking about the man that did the Red Bull jump from, what, like 30 miles high? And he actually landed like 20-some miles or in between 20 and 100 miles east of where he took off at. And now the Earth supposedly spins to the east at 2,000 miles an hour. So if he's 30 miles high and everything falls at a terminal velocity of 120 miles an hour, dude's going to have to straight fall, like, damn near horizontal the entire time, which is pretty much impossible.
Right. And that kind of ties back into what I had said earlier about flight schedules. Have you noticed, like, say, for instance, a flight from here to China takes the same amount of time to get there that it does to get back without taking into account any compensation for the first thing?
Right. Like if, so, like, if you were flying from New York to L.A., it would only take, like, a half an hour, but on the way back, it would take, like, 5 hours.
Yeah. Suppose that's how it would be if it was a globe model, you know, globe. But flat, with it being flat, it makes more sense because now, okay, I see why they can get there and back around the same time. It's good.
I was going to say that at some point, you know, like, I believe that one of the reasons why it's difficult for people to grasp it is because, A, we believe what we've been told. Okay, but if you can get past that, then now the next hurdle is, well, if that's true, then all this other stuff has to be false. So you really got to have a big, big head to stretch out and look at a whole lot of the things you've been told and see the lies in it, like going to the moon. The moon could be a hologram, things like that. And whoever's whistling, that totally just threw me way off. So I'm lost. Go ahead, Coldest.
Please, siren.
No, I was going to say.
Hey,
That you said the first barrier is getting past the thing. I think one obstacle that's been placed there, and I touched on earlier, is the belief that thing that is a flat earth goes against, you know, it kind of puts us back in the Stone Ages, or at least the Middle Ages. But contrary to what we've been taught in textbooks, no, they didn't believe. They were just as indoctrinated as we are today that the Earth was a globe model. And, you know what I'm saying? There are numerous historical accounts and evidences to show that. They really don't want us to think along these lines because once you get to thinking along these lines, you know, you think along broader and just bigger stuff and you realize that it's not just the moon that's a hologram. You know, it's the government. It's, you know what I'm saying, the people. Everything we know is a hologram construct. They forced us to see things a certain way so that we don't see things. So once we begin to think outside the box and see outside the box, you know, our particular potential as, you know, say humanity is just exponential, you know, and power leaves their hands. And it's just that time.
I think there's another reason that they came up with the round earth. And the heliocentric, everything is going around the sun and not the earth. I think there was another reason. I think they did that to take us away from God.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they don't want us to believe in God. I think they want us to believe that some dust ran into, some magic dust appeared from nowhere and ran into some more magic dust and it blew up and made a universe. And then some things was crawling and they bumped into each other and they made people and you're not special and there's no God and this is all just an accident. I think that's the goal of all of it.
That's something
what
else
you think about
crazy.
That?
How they were talking about how, you know, everything from the quote-unquote Big Bang Theory. So in space, everything's always moving away from the center or the beginning of the universe.
Right.
So if the moon's or if the sun's going at this rate and all these planets are circling around it at this rate, all moving in the same direction, you shouldn't be able to see the same constellation. But once, and then after that, it's a different sky every night.
Yeah. You're right. That's
yep. That's exactly true. Yeah, and then, I mean, let's revisit something that was real important that we touched on at the beginning, which is gravity, right? Gravity, mm-hmm. Because gravity explains why the Earth doesn't move away from the sun, but it stays at a fixed distance, and all the planets do too, and they stay in their orbits, and the moon stays in its, and we stay on the planet. But gravity is some shit they just made up. There's no such thing as gravity. Like, in any common sense understanding of it, like, what is gravity? Gravity is a magical force that's, I don't know if it's a magnet sucking stuff down or if it's something pushing down from the sky.
It's definitely not centrifugal force.
Yeah, but whatever it is, it is so badass that it knows how much pressure to push down on a building so that the building doesn't fly away or crush into the ground, but it also adjusts to the enough pressure on an ant so that the ant don't fly away or push to the ground. So whatever it is, it's not a uniform force. It's something that adapts. And if you gain weight, it's going to adapt to your weight. And if you lose weight, it's just going to always be just perfect. And what is that? They don't have no proof for that. It's like a complicated theory that starts with if. So
I got a question for Hit.
Yeah.
Is he still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just an opinion thing. What do you think would happen if we all did, you know what I'm saying, subscribe to the flat earth theory? Because I have my own, you know what I'm saying, opinion, but I was just kind of interested in getting someone else's, because I normally don't talk with these, about these things with other people, because, you know, you get into this arena, it's like, you know, oh, I ain't on that, man, or they tell you think too much, whatever, but you seem like a very intelligent individual. I was wanting to get your input on that.
Well, I know that, like, I work in a tattoo shop, so, like, anything can be brought up in conversation, but, like, this topic, like, when I bring it up, they're like, oh, that's just fucking crazy, and, like, they make a joke out of it, but when someone does, like, bite and get into it, like, I always get the same thing, because, like, the point is, like, for me at least, like, to make you ask questions and just wonder what if, and I always get the same response, like, irregardless if it's round or if it's flat, it doesn't make no difference to me, because it's not going to affect nothing, which I can dig, and I can understand that. But, like, on a scarier note, I guess, it would be crazy to come to that reality and see that, like, something that on that magnitude has been kept from us for so long.
Right,
because then you wonder why. Like, what's being hidden from us? Why are they pretending to do all this space? See, part, like, okay, here's another divine line with the whole flat earth thing. A lot of flat earthers are saying that there's a firmament. There is a barrier that we can't leave. I think that's part and parcel of the flat earth theory. And, okay, so we're here in this bubble, this controlled environment, and it's like, so yeah, there is a God then, because that's what all that stuff in the Bible was talking about, is like the firmament and the water came from above the firmament.
Right. I was going to say you hit on the good thing about the firmament, right? And then you was asking why would they keep it from us? You have a belief that's popular, you know, saying certain circles that you know, for one, the chemtrails thing is a fact, but people kind of wonder why. Is it just to poison us? And have you seen the holograms of, say, for instance, with the kids in the gym and the big whale and the splashing to look real as heck? You know, I think they're gearing us towards something to where they're going to create a mass hologram to where, you know, it will affect our – it will just fuck up everything we know, or thought we knew. And it's, you know what I'm saying, going towards that whole new world, one world order thing. And, like, that could possibly be a reason why they don't want us to know. And there's obviously a lot more to the story, because you still got dimensions and planes, which, you know, are a fact. You know, various people have been, you know, through getting spirituality and mysticism, you know, people have experienced these altered states of consciousness where pretty much the surroundings are the same, but the rules that apply to them are different. So just because we're in, you know, saying a bubble, hypothetically, does not mean that this is all there is to it. So there's like a lot, you know, there's a lot that can still be, you know, speculated upon as to the whys and where we're going to go from now. And I think that's the reason why they don't want us to know, though, because they got some tricks up their sleeves. And all they can really try to do now is stem the flow.
I like what Hib said, because, like, this is, like, once you start talking to a person who's open-minded, it can go down a zillion different paths, because there's a lot to consider. But at the end of the day, if the earth is flat, if the earth is round, what difference does it make? You know what I mean? We still got to buy bread at Aldi's when it's on sale. So it's like, why is this even relevant? And, like, why is it important that we have this conversation?
I think
you know, It was making sense what the cultist was saying about like the one world government, because like years ago I read this book by William Cooper, Behold a Pale Horse, and there was a chapter in it talking about aliens, and like one of the theories was like, in order to have a new world order without races fighting against each other and countries fighting against each other, they needed to pull something from off our planet that wasn't a human, and oppose it as a threat, so that way everybody would unite on Earth, and then they could start putting in the plays to like connect the one world order. So I mean, that totally makes sense. If you take us off a flat plane and put us on a sphere in the middle of a whole bunch of other spheres that have possible life on them, because not the average Joe just going to be able to like test that theory out and fly up 30 miles to see.
Right. And yeah, right. That right there is why I think that's the, well, what's the point in knowing, you know what I'm saying? What's the difference? You know, does that affect people in the long run if you're willing to look at the bigger picture like that? You know, because if you're being deceived on one level, there's, you know what I'm saying, there's obviously more levels to the deception. So we can either be aware and prepare, defend, or however we got to do it. Sometimes the best defense isn't always the best offense, but sometimes it's staying back in the cut. You know, I might not be able to do anything about it, but at least I can be forewarned so that I don't get draped off into the same traps as other people.
Right.
He said draped off. I like that, draped off. That's old school right there. Don't get draped off, y'all. Look, I'll tell you what I think. That's what I think. So I'm more of a traditional conspiracy theorist. I'm not a new ager. Yeah, actually I am. I believe that it's important for us to talk about stuff like this, regardless of what the outcome is, because it's important to start thinking, right? Yeah, like you said. And when we start thinking, then we become open. And then we can start exploring some of those mystic alternative realities. Like, there's people who have extrasensory talents and abilities, and it's real. And it's like, what if we believed in God? What if we realized that when we die, it's not the end of the game? And what if we really knew who we were? Then we wouldn't be afraid so much, and they wouldn't be able to control us. Does that make sense, or is that way out there?
No, that makes perfect sense, because you got me thinking about how, you know, like, I was thinking earlier, like, a lot of the stuff I was talking about in the Bible that talks about the firmaments, it just talks about in the Quran about the earth being spread out as like a carpet or like tents with like a tent with pegs, you know. And my thought is, I had a brain fart. What was it?
Gotta say, excuse me.
dang, where was I going with that?
I smell that shit.
Man,
that shit stinks.
It's freaking. Go ahead, man.
Hold that thought. Are you holding that thought? This, you know, this really could have been a show that was real short. It could have been like, look, the earth is flat. If you don't know, then go find out. And then once you get that one, come back, and I'm going to tell you the next thing to go research, like the whole fake moon landings, right? Then we're going to go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And then you'll realize, like, there's a whole lot of illusions and misinformation that's been fed.
I remember my point now. My point was, you know, religious, like the information contained in like the Bible and the Quran, you know, from a scientific view, they've always made big of this clash between religion and science. But what if all the legitimate scientific knowledge was in the Bible and the Quran, and that's what they didn't want us to believe, was in these holy books is where this stuff is really at? Because when it comes to what they come up with, this stuff really don't hold water. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that in these particular times, a faith in something is a must. You know, got to have the higher power, because the levels of deceptions run deep. You know, they're fond of the new ages are fond of saying as above, so below. And that ties back into these dimensions. You know, we getting up into higher planes. There's the levels of deception going on up there. So we have to be able to be in a position to educate ourselves. So where we know, okay, so I see a spirit. Let's just say I see a spirit, you know, and it says it's one thing, you know. What would I be able to do to find out another? What do I know to prepare me for that encounter? You know, because what they're also saying is that there's going to be like a disclosure about alien life forms, but they're also saying that these so-called extraterrestrials are in reality transterrestrials. They just come from a different dimension on Earth, so that we're going to be deceived by these spirits or whatever. So I'm, you know, saying the whole point of knowing that stuff is like, okay, well, now I have a little bit more forewarning, you know what I'm saying, and precaution that I can take with any new thing coming, because it's unfolding at it. Like, so much stuff, like back in the 90s, people thought this new world order stuff was never going to happen, you know. Like you said, Bill Cooper, who wrote Behold a Pale Horse, he talked about a lot of stuff that was just unfolding so fast as of right now. Like, you got Hillary Clinton, she's made her part of her campaign promise to disclose whatever the government has on, you know, extraterrestrial life and so forth. So it's coming. We got to be able to pick through the bullshit. You know, we got to be able to be discerning with the information we take in, but we got to make sure we keep taking it. Information.
I don't believe that. I don't believe in that all the answers is in the holy books. That's where you lost me at.
No, okay.
I'm a non-religious conspiracy nut.
Well, I was,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm a
spiritualist.
Don't take it out of context, because I wouldn't say what if all the knowledge. I meant more to say what if the knowledge in there was more accurate than what we've been given. Not saying all the knowledge. No, that
that's
makes sense. I wasn't taking it to there. Kind of probably read more into it, brother.
As soon as you said religious books, I turned left. I was like, uh oh.
A lot of the
viewers
probably did too.
But that mm-hmm. I believe, and I want to see what Hip has to say about this. But I believe that there are the two main methods of mind control are patriotism and religion. People will kill you. They
mm-hmm.
They will lose their humanity in the name of patriotism and religion. So as soon as you go to either one of those, it's like logic shuts down, and it's, you know.
Well,
we lost
this.
We talk about religion with him. Yeah, he said he can't mess with his Jesus.
Well, the thing is, Jesus. Point, because people think that when you talk about religion, you mean organized religion. And that makes the broad demarcation between spirituality and religion. But I'm talking about cracking open that book and read it for yourself, not with, you know, because you say, for instance, you got these suicide bombers out there in the Middle East. That's a whole bunch of illiterate people being told what to do by one person. That's organized religion. Organized religion has been the cause of so many, it's countless deaths. But spirituality.
So you're saying that it's not, you can be spiritual and religious at the same time?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Hip is back. Let's see what he got to say. Hip, he said you could be spiritual and religious at the same time. He ain't talking about organized religion. He talking about read the book for yourself and get your own understanding. That's religion, but it's spiritual.
It sounds more like going with the ideology of a certain belief, which is, I can believe that, because, like, I can look at, like, man, me personally, I believe that as long as there's my God's the same as everybody else's, irregardless how they choose to worship him or what name they choose to give him, like, my higher power's the same as everyone else's. So, like, you know, like, I like the saying, when in Rome, you know, if I go hang out with a Muslim friend and, like, we throw out a rug and fucking pray to the East together, like, I'm down to do that. If I go to a Catholic church and have mass, like, I'm down to do that. If fucking I go and sit lotus and meditate in the woods with a Buddhist, like, I'll do it like that. Or if it's just simply, like, singing some gospel songs at a Christian Baptist church, like, I'll do it like that.
Yeah. About it. That's how I wrote
right.
for the book.
Right. But what I'm also hearing is that you are not down to be confined by one set of teachings that says that all other teachings are incorrect.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, that makes sense. Man, I've seen, and it's a crazy place, but sometimes you can get some good shit off Facebook. It was a meme, and it said Buddha wasn't a Buddhist, Jesus wasn't a Christian, and Muhammad wasn't a Muslim. They were all in the religion of love. So, like how he was saying about, like, the holy books, like there's some truth in them. Like if you look at everything that religion has to offer, like there's the life I live, I'm taught to look at the similarities, not the differences. And they're so, and it's like all them golden rules that you hear and like your parents told you when you were growing up, like all the religion has linked up all these common themes, and it's like spiritual principles, like they all coincide together and they don't conflict when applied, they complement each other. But I think like the programming of like fucking whoever it is in control, you know, why the Bible has been rewritten so many times, and like the version that fucking everyone carries around is from a homosexual Christian slayer. You know, like, well, I mean, he was like, and he actually rewrote the Bible to have power over people. There were parts in it, about women and the duality of God being man and woman. And that was taken out, just like things to hold people back. Because at the time, you know, there was probably 1 out of 20 people that could, to write and read and speak proper language. So like now's the chance to implement what you want people to do. And it's just seemed to like carry on throughout the years of just stupidity. And it gets to the point now to where you have talk shows about some open-minded shit, and there's only 3 people on here because everybody else is like, they crazy as fuck.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Look, I want to say this in defense of stupid people, because they really aren't that stupid. But a lot of people are just really uncomfortable. Like, we have more people on the switchboard, but they just haven't pressed number one. And like yesterday, I had like 5 people that wanted to chime in, but there was 400 people listening. So it's like when you post something that's little edgy on social media, you may not get a bunch of clicks, but that don't mean people ain't looking at it. We plant seeds, and it's cool. When you talked about the Bible and the actual book and the alterations and things like that, it reminded me of a pork barrel bill that's being pushed through Congress. Okay, so the bill, what I'm saying is that we got a bill that's going to clean the water in Flint, Michigan. Now, everybody's going to go and support that, right, because that's good publicity and it's the right thing to do. But the fine print in the bill says that we're also going to, you know, we're going to sacrifice everybody's firstborn male child or something like that. They slide in extra crap in under an umbrella of something good. And that's the way that I look at some of the organized religions. It's like the principles and the moral teachings are beautiful, but some of the hate-based, judgmental passages, it's like, why did they put that in there? That makes no sense to me.
Well, I want to kind of interject. It's like when you get into the hate, you know what I'm saying, based stuff, that's normally where you find organized religion, you know. That's why I said, you know, I personally believe that, you know, a person who wants to get his own spiritual understanding, because to be spiritual, you know, you can be a basic spiritualist and just hold certain values and beliefs. But most people who are spiritually minded would like to improve upon, you know, and progress. It normally involves going to some type of text. You know, we want to follow the ways of those who were told, you know, saying back in the days. I've found that when you go straight to the source, a particular person tell you how to think, or you can even get their input, but to take it as law, that's the error of letting other people think for you. And then that's when, because if that person doesn't believe, you know, whites and blacks should mingle, you know, that becomes your belief. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't question it, you know, because you're supposed to question everything. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing people don't get. They let, in organized religion, they let the heads or whatever do the thinking for them. And that's why it's gotten a bad rap. It has been. I'm a firm believer in, like you say, you can be religious and spiritual at the same time. I believe that's what we need, because we got to get back to it, man.
Right.
Didn't
even Malcolm X, didn't he believe that there wasn't no white Muslims until he went to Mecca?
Right. Because he was in a chapter or sect of organized religion, the Nation of Islam. People still to this day confused with that particular sect as part of being racist and stuff like that. you know. But when you get down to it, just like you said, Malcolm X.
And then another one of the big tools, once again, is fear. The fear that if I don't do everything that they say I got to do, then I'm not going to heaven. And in fact, I'm going to hell, and it's a really bad place. But if we learn that we're like energy can't be destroyed or created, and we don't even really exist three-dimensionally. Like I'm not my body. When I leave my body, I'm biologically still the same thing. It's just the spark that animates me. You can't even measure that shit or detect it. So when we realize that, like, we die, like, I believe that when we die, we just float on to the next, you know, like, something. So why should we be afraid to die? And when you ain't afraid to die, then you can live, and people can't tell you stuff like, oh, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. Like, man, shut up.
I don't know. I subscribe to the people, what people say. You know, people that have near-death experiences, they be coming back saying some stuff. And a lot of times, for the most part, it contradicts with some of them new agers. Like, you know, you just go on. They're like, nigga, I was in hell. I seen it, you know. So, you got to consider all sources. You got to consider all sources. And like Hip said, you know, be willing to just kind of take it all in. That's open-mindedness. It's when we get closed-minded, that's when we can stagnate and get draped off into intolerance. You know, we get too rigidness. You got to be flexible or you'll break.
So you said go to source. You said go directly to source. And so when I think of going to source, I don't think that source needs a book to talk to me. Like feel it. You feel it, and you can be directed, guided by that. Like, I feel the way I feel, it's in alignment with the moral teachings in the books. So I'm down with that. But if the book tell me that homosexuality is an abomination, like an unforgivable sin, I don't feel that one. That one don't resonate with me. So that's that one. I'm not going with that, because that would require me to judge human beings, which is not, you know, what I'm here to do. So my open mindedness leads me to think that, you know, when we die, we just really transition. What y'all think about that? Y'all think we go to hell and heaven, or we go to like the big tattoo parlor in the sky?
If there is a hell, I've already been through it, so fucking, and I'm not trying to go back, but I believe that every breath of life is a miracle, irregardless of if you're fucking, it's taken me a minute to get open-minded to this, right? But, you know, suffering from a mental disease like I have, the fucking pedophile to the fucking good person that fucking does everything right to the serial killer, like, every breath of life's a miracle, and like, God don't make mistakes. Like, we're here to live a life, and you know, some people suffer from different things. If anything, like, I'm learning to practice more empathy for people instead of like judging them, like, oh well, they did this. But when you get to the root of everything, like, they suffer from the same things that everyone else suffers from, just maybe more extreme in some areas than others. Because there's always
right,
hope, man. And anybody can change.
Right. It's challenging. It's challenging to, it's like, let's use the Bible. Jesus said, I got one thing I want y'all to do. Love each other like I loved you, right? And so now, if we're supposed to love each other, okay, but what about when people mess up? And they kill somebody. We don't gotta love them, right? Nope, you gotta love them too. Oh, but that ain't easy to do. So let's just make a new religious interpretation that allows us to cop out when we want to. You know, that's the kind of stuff I'm not with.
The only time you can forgive somebody for murder is when they're doing it for oil.
I was going to say, though, that forgiveness and all those principles, like how you was talking about how, you know, when it talks about homosexuality, you kind of choose to move past that. I don't, you know what I'm saying? What another person does is their business, you know? And I think that's what everybody needs to realize, because, say, for instance, it does say that in the Bible. It's just basically a guideline, you know, just throwing it out there. You know, I'm not defending or justifying whatever it says. I'm kind of speaking in general, but I didn't want to get into that, because it made mention of serial killers and pedophiles as well. And,
and these kind of that I understand that some of the things in the Bible are written as history. Some of the things in the Bible are written, and they're supposedly the word from God, from Jesus. Some, and a lot of this stuff is like, it's just somebody said, and it's like the customs of that place and time. Like, don't cut your hair rounded, and you're supposed to wear four tassels hanging, and all these other things you're supposed to and not supposed to do. So when they get with that homosexual thing, is that what God said, or is that just some stuff they wrote in there?
I wasn't trying to focus too much on that. I was just kind of broadening it because you had asked, like, what my beliefs determine heaven and hell are. You know, I believe that whatever, you know, saying, whatever says whether a person does it or not, that's between them and God, one, you know. And the biggest thing that we should realize is that whole message of redemption and being repenting, feeling bad for the stuff we do. Because I believe that's what really makes it whether a person is going to go to heaven or hell, you know. I'm not going to judge them whatever they do, but at the same time, if they don't, it's just like in court. You go to in front of a judge, you know, I'm sorry, you know, hoping to get a better sentence. Is it really not? That's been up to the guy, and it might make the assessment they're off of that. But how many people are willing to get, because people get past that, like, do that, you know what I'm saying, line on home place, what you're talking about, you know. The hard things. To take it so much the stuff, because it says in the Bible, you know, kill your kid if he's a hood, you know what I'm saying, a little thug rat, you know, that's that applies. Man, that was like, you know, Leviticus, but it's different times, circumstances, you know what I'm saying, call for different measures and means. And either way, I can only focus on my thing, you know, and I'm trying to implement it and make it action. I think high, broad spiritual thoughts, but what am I doing? You know, so to tie it all up, you know what I'm saying? All I can work on to get to heaven is me. I can't take nobody with me, you know, and I sure can't condemn nobody to it, you know, because then Jesus said, you know, judge not, be judged first, you know. People
right. And the bottom line out of all of this is that if you're rolling on around earth, you're going to make it to heaven. Because that's what they told you to believe. So me, I'm on a flat earth. I got a rougher roll, man. I could hit the edge and fall off this bitch at any moment. So, and that's what I'm worried about. I'm praying that that doesn't happen to me. Like I said, I'm the comic relief because I don't want it to get too serious and people start getting headaches. Because when you know, like, all like this is foreign. People is like, you ain't supposed to say none of that. Like, thinking, come on now. It's a conspiracy. If you think, you a conspiracy theorist. So I wanted to go back to Hip, and at first I wanted to thank him because he participated and he bore with us as we digressed for real. Like, let's close out this whole flat earth thing. Is there any reason that we should believe that the earth is not flat? Anybody?
Am I back on?
Yeah, you back on.
Okay.
Yeah. You got some Hip?
Hip, you a round earther, though. Tell the truth.
True,
you're a butt earther. You believe the earth is round as a butt.
Really? I don't know. I ain't really labeled in it. I look at both sides, but it just goes back to the, you know, I definitely believe that something like that could be hidden from us. At the end of the night, like, will I lose sleep over it? No. But when I first heard about it, like, yeah, I kind of was, because I'm like, wow, that is fucking crazy, because for as long as I can remember, it's been this. But, like, there's a lot of things recently in the last few years of my life that, like, I thought couldn't happen, and, like, things have changed, and, like, my eyes keep opening wider and wider and wider. But, like, there's just as much proof for a flat earth as the debunkers when they debunk their theories and kick it back to the rounder. So it's like, it could really be either way.
Right.
Yeah.
But we ain't got no satellites. We can't tell for sure.
Right. And if Obama came on TV tomorrow and was like, listen, y'all, I was just fucking with you. There's flat. Like, it wouldn't really shock me. Because I'd be like, yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah. I agree with that.
All the black people will believe it then. So that would be, you know, that much anyway.
I agree with Hip, though. It's good to just be informed of it, you know, because it could go either way. But the more you know, the more you grow, you know. It don't hurt to know
right.
it. And it don't. Yeah, I would probably believe it does hurt not to know it just because, you know, learn as much as possible. But it ain't hurting much. It does.
Yeah, ain't who you know is who you blow. And also, like, if the earth is flat, then minimum wage should definitely be $15 an hour for fast food workers. Like, to me, it's like, I keep referencing the book, and, you know, because I respect that book, parts of it, right? But it says, study to show thyself approved. So I look at that as a code word, code phrase to say, hey, think, bruh. We gave you a brain, use it. Don't just believe everything everybody tell you. So whether it's flat or round, who knows? The point is that we thinking. So we win. We, you know, thinkers are going to come up with more stuff than just, you know, the sheeple. I can't stand that term, sheeple. I don't want to be one of them. So,
right. And, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let's wrap it up. Let's get our last little pieces in. And you're doing a perfect job of doing that. Get them.
All right. They always say education is learning what they want you to learn, and knowledge is finding out for yourself.
Boom. That's deep right there.
Yeah.
That's deep. And it's weird. You say education, and like the education system is just the repeat after me system. The better you repeat what I told you, the better your grades are. Critical thinking is not encouraged. So, yeah, we breaking the mold. We're dangerous. I'm moving to Canada. Fuck that.
Security. Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah.
If we don't ever explore the Antarctica, which is supposed to be like this big-ass barrier around the planet, we're going to need you because you're the coldest. You're probably best suited for that climate. Go ahead. Let's wrap it up with the your opinion on tonight's show, the flat earth, and all the other stuff we talked about.
My closing remarks. I still ain't swayed either way, but it's looking like flat earth is winning. And only people who's going to realize it are people who are open-minded. And they might not agree with it. But I believe that to do the appropriate looking into, and not just on the subject of flat earth, but anything somebody brings to you that doesn't, you know, saying jive with what you've been indoctrinated with or what you think is right. Open-mindedness is a must. And I appreciate everybody that tuned in and saying on some open-mindedness. I appreciate Hip. You know, all I'm going to do is stay open-minded.
Hell yeah. Shout out to B-Dub. Shout out to B-Dub. And also, I just wanted to say this, like, it was something I wanted to say, but I was listening so good, I lost my thought. But yeah, if your argument, like, okay, the earth don't feel like it's moving to me, and when I look around, I don't see no curves and shit. So my senses tell me that this is stationary and it ain't doing nothing. You know, it ain't moving, it ain't spinning, it ain't round. I can't see people on the bottom of the earth falling off and shit. That doesn't make sense to me. So I'm real clear on where I'm at. But if I'm having a conversation and it's an intelligent debate about something and everything you talking about is just based on, well, they said, then I ain't even talking to you because they, who is they? They, you know, they ain't coming out of my head and my senses and my heart. So, like, I'm as good as them. I'm a person. That's some person said that and you buying it. So I don't know. I ain't on it. Anyway, this has been real interesting and weird. I had a good time. Hope y'all did too. And we went overtime like a mofo. Next week we're going to be on something even scarier. We were supposed to talk about the But we ran out of time. But tell them what we're going to talk about next week, Coldest.
Oh, well, you know, on Deep Thought Thursdays, we're going to talk about these celebrity deaths, man. Prince died. Rest in peace, Prince. And, you know, I kind of find it odd that there's an old, not necessarily a superstition, but there's a saying that celebrity deaths are in threes. And this week proved it again, you know. 2009 was like Michael Jackson, Farrah Fawcett, Ed McMahon, you know, and it goes all the way back to the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, and Buddy Holiday, and we're going to get into that next week.
Celebrities always die in threes.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as one die, just keep your eyes open because two more coming. Plus, Prince just got the rights. He just won a lawsuit against Warner Brothers to get the rights to his music, which sounds real similar to what happened to Michael Jackson right before he died. So we're going to talk about all that. I'm going to throw that in there. Anyway, here's our mellow music to tell you that we're leaving. We appreciate y'all. Keep thinking, you know, call in. Help us understand. We just seeking right knowledge. We don't know. We just trying the best we can. You might know something we don't. Call in, share with us. I'm Drew Pillow. This is DPR Presents Deep Dog Thursdays. Enjoy yourself. Happy 420 plus one. Peace. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So let's spend it living and not just going through the motions. Sometimes we need to take a fresh new look at things in order to expand our horizons. This is Spiritual Awakenings, the show that shines a light on your pathway, leading you to a more fulfilled life. I'm your host, Drew Pillow. Join me.